So we're doing the Rif on Megillah on Vav Amud Aleph in the pages of the Rif. And we'd been discussing the different types of Megillah, the way the Megillah could be written. So now the Rif quotes the Mishnah. Ita ketuvah, if the Megillah was written Bissam, Bissikra, Bikumus, Ukan Kantum, which are different forms of dyes that are really different colors. Red, blue, different dyes. Alaniyar, now different types of parchment. Valadiftera lo yatza. So he was not yotze if he reads the Megillah when it's written with different forms of dye or different types of parchment. Ad shetei ketuva ashurit uvasefer uvedio. It has to be written ashurit, so that we know from the earlier Mishnayot. Basefer means on what we would call klaf, and with dio, which we paskin that dio is really any black ink. That's how we paskin. So machlokas, what is dio? What does dio have to constitute? And really, dio is anything that's black. Meaning, if you find a mistake in a Sefer Torah, if you have a black pen, technically you could fix it with that black pen. We make our ink based upon a Masorah of how to make ink. But in essence, we're going with the Rambam, that the Rambam says that any black ink, anything that colors black, is dio. Now, of course, it has criterion. It has to last. It has to be, you can't erase it without making a mark. It has to be that... It has no tummy animals parts in it. There are criterion for the dio, but basically we need something black. Diftera, what is diftera in the Mishnah? We said if it was written on diftera, it's not kosher. That's maliach v'kamiach, that they made the parchment and they salted it and they put flour on it, velafitz, but they didn't put it in walnut juice, golnut juice. Meyafatzim, I think this is where we left off, is walnut juice, that has tannic acid that causes the hides or the cloth to contract. Niyar machka. So the Gemara says, what is niyar? That is machka, some kind of paper that they made by gluing together grasses. So that's not kosher for cloth. Okay. Says the Mishnah, we know that the Megillah is read on the 14th or the 15th, right? 14th in the regular city, 15th in a walled city. Yeah? So now, what happens if you travel from one to the other? And that's very nogea today. People sometimes, they go to Tel Aviv for things, and they go to visit their parents out of Yerushalayim, then they come back to Yerushalayim to Yeshiva. How do you decide when a person is chayav to celebrate Purim? When he's visiting Tel Aviv or when he's visiting Yerushalayim, how does it go? People who come from Tel Aviv to work in Yerushalayim, people who work in Tel Aviv from Yerushalayim. What defines which day they're chayvin? So the Mishnah says like this. Ben Il, if a person who lives in the city, shanach lekrach, he went to a walled city. Uven krach, or a person who lives in a walled city, shanach le'il, he came to a regular city. Im atid lachzor limkumo, if he plans on going back home, so he reads like his home, whatever his hometown is. Yeah? The imlav, koreimem. But if he's not planning on going home, so he reads like the place he's at. Oh, excellent question. So that we're going to see now in the Gemara. So that's exactly where the Gemara is going to head. And let's see. Which day? Meaning, let's say a guy from Tel Aviv who reads on the 14th comes on the 14th to Yerushalayim. So does that define that he's on the 15th? What happens if on the 15th he'll be back in Tel Aviv? Or vice versa? Which day defines it? And is it the night time? Is it the morning? What defines it? So let's see. What's the minimum? From where must one read the Megillah to fulfill his obligation? Rabbi Meir omer kula. Gotta read it all. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Meish Yehudi. The primary part of the Megillah is from Ish Yehudi. Stam Rabbi Yehuda, the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eloi. Rabbi Yossi Omer Me'achar HaDevarim Eile. From Achar HaDevarim Eile, where it says Achar HaDevarim Eile Gida LaMelech HaRashverosh Es Hamon Ben Hamedo. So that Achar HaDevarim Eile, there are two Achar HaDevarim Eile. One is chapter, what we call, the Christians call chapter 2. Achar HaDevarim Eile, kishoh chamata, medech Achashverosh, zachat vashti v'et asher asata, v'et asher nigzal haleha. That's after Vashti's murder. And there's the second Achar Dvarim Eile, which is what Rav Yossi is referring to, which is the Achar Dvarim Eile after Esther was in place and Hashem had prepared the refuah for the Makkah, then Haman was elevated in stature. Okay, says the Gemara. Ben Yerushalach Lekach, if we have a guy who lives in the city and he travels to the walled city, Amar Rava, lo shanu la shati lachzor b'leil yudalet v'nitakev v'lo chazar. When we said that if a person's planning on going home, he reads like his home, that's talking about a person who comes from a walled city, goes to a non-walled city. He's planning on going home on the night of the 14th. V'nitakev, and he got detained v'lo chazar, and he didn't make it back home. But if he doesn't plan on going home on the night of the 14th, he plans on staying there the day of the 14th. He reads with them. Because the pasuk says, the people who come from the non-walled cities, who live in the non-walled city. What is prazi? Ayudim prazim, the city who are not, the Jews who are not walled, who lived in the not-walled city. So why does it say twice? Prazim ha'yishvim ha'rei prazot. So Rava says like this, Mechdi, let's analyze this pasuk. The pasuk says, we're at the bottom of the page, Hayudim haprazim, k'tiv, says the not-walled Jews. Lama li l'michtav ha'yishvim b'arei prazot, so why does the pasuk have to go on and say who live in the not-walled cities? Ela ha'kamash malan, but this is what it's going to teach me, t'paruz ben yomo, a person who's not walled for a day, meaning he's a Tel Avivian for a day, nikra paruz, he still gets the name Tel Avivian. For that day, we say, okay, that's his din. He's like not walled. Umide paruz ben yomon nikra paruz, mukaf ben yomon nikra mukaf. And if a not walled for a day is called not walled, so then a walled for a day is also called walled. So that's why they say, if you make it to Yerushalayim for the 15th, then you keep perm on the 15th as well. Now what defines it? The night, the day, the 14th. So obviously we just read the Gemara and we don't have a clear picture. And that's how the Gemara really concludes. You read the Gemara and you don't have a clear picture, and that's reading ground for Machlokas Rishonim. And then, it evolves into the Halacha. But you see the lack of clarity. The Gemara says, for the day, which day? The 14th or the 15th? Or do we go at the night, by the night or the morning? So this is what Rishonim discussed. Because this Gemara, like the Rif quoted it, really doesn't define it for us. We don't see what the Gemara means to say. We send the Mishnah. Mechan kora adam ta Megillah v'yotze b'aydei chovato. From where does one read the Megillah and fulfill his obligation? We're over here. Mechan kora adam ta Megillah v'yotze b'aydei chovato. Rabbi Meir omer kula. Rabbi Meir says he has to read the whole thing. Rabbi Yehuda omer meishudi. Rabbi Yossi omer me'achar dvarim eile. Amar v'chel ba'amar v'cham b'gui amara. V'alacha k'divrei omer kula. The halacha is like the one who says he got to read the whole Megillah. And even Rabbi Yehuda says it's enough that you read from Ishudi. The whole Megillah has to be written. Even if you don't have to read the whole thing has to be written in order for it to be a kosher Megillah. The Megillah is referred to as a sefer. Al kein, al kol divrei ha'igeret hazot, and it's called an igeret. Nikret sefer, why is it called a sefer? Shim tafra b'chutei pishtan psula. That if he sewed the Megillah, let's say he needed a few pieces of parchment, so he sewed them together, and he sewed them with strings of flax. So then it is possible, because there's a mandamer that says if you sew a sefer Torah with flax, it's possible. So we say it's a sefer, like a sefer Torah, that you can't sew it with flax string. Menikret igeret, and it's called a letter. Shemitil ba'gimel chutei gidin kshera. Shtaim bebet tzavot ha'iriya, v'achat betoch ha'iriya. That if you tied it with three strings of gidin, what are gidin? How do we sew our tefillin clothes? How do we sew the sefer Torah, the different pieces of parchment together? So we take string that's made of gidim, out of sinews of the animal. They take certain gidim of the animal and they spin them into thread, they spin them into strings of gidim, and that's what's used to sew sifrei Torah and tefillin. And over here, if you also tie the Megillah, the different pieces of parchment, with three strings of gedim, that's kosher. How do you do it? Two at the two edges and one inside. But you have to divide it into thirds. What's called thirds? Thirds is what we would call fifths. Meaning the top knot has to be equidistant from the top as it is to the second knot, which is equidistant to the third knot, which is equidistant to the bottom. So you have a space to the top knot, space one, two, three, four. I'm sorry, it's what we would call quarters. Meaning you have you divide it one, two, three, so you have four spaces. The space between the top and the first knot, first to second, second to third, third to bottom.
So where's it written here, third?
They have to be equidistant.
But the idea is that they draw three lines.
The idea is that when you're going to make three knots to connect the two pieces of parchment on the Megillah, the three knots have to be equidistant.
Four, right.
That comes out to quarters, right. אמר רב יוחנן, הקורא את המגילה הכתובה בין הכתובים לא יצא. If someone reads a Megillah, and the Megillah is written between other books of Tanakh, you have a long scroll, and on that scroll you have written Yirmiyah, Yechezkel, Megillah, Esther. So Megillah, Esther is written in between Yirmiyah and Yechezkel. So Rav Yochanan says he's not Yotze. ומחו לימוך, and you bang him on the brain. לא אמרו לא יצא, אלא בציבור. When do we say he's not Yotze when he's reading it publicly that way? Aval b'yachid yatsa, but an individual who has such a Megillah that's written like that, he is Yotze. Amar Rava v'tzibur nam, hilo amaran, hilad lo mechasa puta o miyatra puta ashar ha-yiriyot. Aval mechasa puta o miyatra puta ashar ha-yiriyot. Kivan de mechaze kemgila b'fnei atzma, afilo b'tzibur nam yatsa. Rava says, it's only if all the pieces of parchment are the same size. So it looks like the Megillah is one long thing. But let's say all the pieces of parchment, the book of Yechezkel, is this wide. And suddenly you get to Megillah Esther, you see it's much wider. I don't know whose it is. I can't say yes, I can't say no. Okay. So if the pieces of parchment are like this, this is Yirmiyah, is this wide. Yechezkel is this wide. And suddenly you hit Megillah Esther, it's this wide. So you could tell it's its own thing. It's its own entity. Then Rava says it's kosher. And the same thing if vice versa. The other books of Tanakh are wider, and then they're sewn into Megillah Esther, which is thinner. So long as it's a different size, the parchments of Megillah Esther, then we say that that's kosher. That's what Rava tells us. That's good enough. Continuing the Gemara. ואמר רבי יוחנן שיעור התפר שהם שרים בתחילת העירייה וסופה לחל משה מסינה היו מחו לעמוך לא אמרו אלא כדי שלא ייקרא. רבי יוחנן initially said, when we tie the Sefer Torah, so we don't tie it too tightly at the top. Why not? So he says it's הלך על משה מסינה. And then מחו לעמוך, after that was said, he hit himself in the head and said, no, that's not so. Chazal instituted this. Chazal instituted it because when you do Galila, if you tighten the Sefer Torah too much, so let's say you'd tie the piece of parchment together very strongly, when you tighten, you'd break them. You'd break the Gidim. So we leave it a little bit loose on top, so when you tighten it, it has room to give, so it won't tear. So that's why Chazal instituted that when you sew two pieces of parchment in the Sefer Torah, you don't sew them too tightly on top. Machula Mocha, as he like hit himself in the head, he contradicted himself. No. He hit himself. Even though the words really mean they hit him, but it means over here that he retracted his statement.
Literally in the Aramita word, it means and they hit him on the head. Yeah. Hit him on the brain.
Yeah. Hakol kshirin nikot tamgila. Chutz mecheresh otev katan. Everyone's kosher to read the Megillah. Except for someone who's deaf and dumb. Every cheresh and shas is usually someone who can't hear or speak. Someone who's a fool, which means he tears his own clothing, he does things that are harmful to himself. V'katan, or a minor. Rav Yehuda machshir v'katan. Rav Yehuda says a minor may read the Megillah.
Why is that in general, by Jews, somebody who is lame is considered to be cheresh?
He's not. We say cheresh is someone who is throughout the Shas, Cheresh is Cheresh ve'ilem. Cheresh in the time of the Shas is someone who doesn't know how to hear. He cannot hear and cannot speak.
So by definition, the word. So if you had someone who was just.
If he could talk, but he couldn't hear, then if he. In times of Chazal, for sure. Ever since Helen Keller, we've advanced tremendously. In Kohen Tamgila, Ela Beyom, the Megillah must be read by day. Lo Malin velo Tovlin velo Mazin. We're going to enumerate a bunch of things that have to be done from day. And really, anything that has to be done by day could be done from Alosa Shachar. But Chazal instituted it should be done from Neitz, which is what the Mishnah is going to tell us now. You don't do Bris Mila. You don't Tovel. You don't spritch the waters of the Paraduma. V'chen Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. And the same thing. A woman who's saw spotting and she has to check in the time when it was Doraisa. This isn't relevant today. For every day she saw spotting, she takes a day to see that she's clean. Lo titbo lachet adanetzach hama. So she only toivels the next morning at Neitz. V'kulan she'al sume she'al amud ha'shachar kasher. And all these things technically are kosher from amud ha'shachar, which is 72 minutes before sunrise. Kol hayom kasher likot ha'mgila, all days kosher for the reading of the Megillah. Likot ha'led, for reading the Halel. Litkiat shofar, for blowing the shofar. Velintilat lulav, and for shaking the lulav. Velitvilat ha'musafin, and for praying musaf. Vela musafin, and for the musaf sacrifices. Ul vidui ha'parim, and for saying vidui over the cows. The vidui of the cows of Yom Kippur. Vela vidui ma'aser. Vela vidui yom ha'kippurim. Velis micha. Just a second. Levidui Aparim is Par Kohen Mashiach and Par Helam Dover, the special cows that were brought if the Kohen Gadol did an Aveira or if the majority of the congregation did it. Then you have Par Yom HaKippurim, Lesmicha, Leshchita, Letnufa, when they'd wave around the Korban, Lagasha, bringing the Korban near the wall of the Mizbeach, Lekmitza, to Kmitza is when they take the flour from the flour offering, Laktara, for the burning of the flour offering, Limlika, which was the way they sacrifice a bird, lekabala, for accepting the blood, lazaya, for sprinkling the blood, lashkat sota, for giving the sota to drink, larifat egla, for the special procession of egla rufa, neter tamtzora, to purify the mitzora, kol alayla kasher lektzoret haomer, all night is kosher for harvesting the omer, velesfirat haomer, vekter chalavim vevarim, and for burning the fats and limbs that remain from a sacrifice that was brought by day. Zaklal, this is the general rule, and with this the Mishnah concludes the second chapter. Davar shemitzvato bayom, anything that the mitzvah is by day, kasher kol hayom, it's kosher to do all day. V'chol davar shemitzvato balayla, anything that's a mitzvah of the night, kasher kol halayla, is kosher all night. But we know that there are many mitzvot of the night that Chazal didn't want us to go all night. They were scared if you let a person do it all night, he'll end up missing it. So they told us on some of these mitzvot, get them done before chatzot, before midnight.